Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
You probably realize if you've read your Bible that there's angels encamped all around you. That's what the Bible teaches us. But did you know that you could interact with those angels and that God sent angels to be around you every day and whatever you're doing, that they're around you all the time and that you can grow in your awareness of angels? Well, today's program is going to be about that. And so I know that you're excited to hear more about it with my special guest, Charity Kayambe. I'm so glad to have you with us. You've written a book called Everyday Angels. And so we're going to get into that subject. I'm excited for our viewers to hear more about it. But the question would be is like, do you see the angels all the time? Like, we know that they're there, but do you see them?
You know, I don't see angels all the time, but I do see angels whenever I look for them. So yes, it is possible to see them all the time because that's scriptural truth. Just like you said, they're always there. And so if we're not seeing them, it's because our eyes are closed to that reality.
And so you have learned how to open up your eyes to see them, to follow the Spirit, to see them.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. So we have spiritual senses. We have eyes in our hearts and there are specific things we can actually do to open those eyes, to awaken our spiritual senses. It says in Hebrews, through practice, our senses are matured and they were able to discern more. So that's what we're able to do. Yeah.
That's how I actually began to discern angels, is that I had had one experience years ago where I saw an angel in open vision. It was a sovereign appointment of the Lord. I wasn't looking for it, wasn't praying for it, wasn't fasting and praying to see angels or anything. It was just there. And after that, I wanted to see more, but I didn't until a friend of mine who has a well-known ministry in intercession taught me how to open my spiritual vision to see them. We were driving down the road to a meeting and she was a speaker at the meeting and I was too. So we were in the same vehicle and she'd say, oh my gosh, look at that angel. That's what, and every day that we were traveling, she would talk about these angels she was seeing. I said, do you see angels all the time? And she says, like, yeah, don't you? And I thought, no, but I want to. And I asked her, I said, can you pray an impartation? She said, I can, but I can teach you how to see them. And I know that that might sound strange to some of you, but you can actually learn how to see. It's a matter of opening up your eyes. So let's talk about that, because why don't most people see angels all the time? Like, we know that we can, but why don't we?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, I think a lot of times we don't know what we're looking for. We assume angels are going to, you know, have wings for one thing. That's how we expect them to be. And sure, sometimes in scripture they did. Cherubim and seraphim are described with wings, but there's hundreds of other verses in scripture about angels and it never mentions wings, you know, and in fact, it says they had hands and what they did with their hands and that they walked, not that they were flying with wings. And it talks about us entertaining angels unaware. So more often than not, it actually describes angels looking like us. They had an appearance like a man, or it was men dressed in white. And so number one, we need to understand what we're looking for. A lot of time the angels are going to look like us. And then number two, we need to know where to look. if we are waiting for angels to show up in our physical space-time dimension and we can see them with our physical eyes, we're going to be waiting a while. Because sure, they can come into our world, but they're spirits, right? They're right. Ministering spirits sent to render service for the heirs of salvation. So we know they're spirits in the spirit realm. So if we want to see them all the time, well, we can just go to where they are. We can step into the spirit realm, use the eyes of our heart, and look around. The spirit realm is not far away. We know the spirit realm, it permeates this natural realm, the physical realm. It infuses this natural world. So we can just look to see them with our spiritual eyes and, oh, they were there all along.
And of course, you're going to share with us how we can open up our spiritual eyes then, because we all have spiritual eyes, but if we don't realize it, we might not exercise that vision. It would be like keeping your eyes closed all the time, right?
You're right.
So can you share a little bit with us about how can we cultivate this sight? Because if they're in the spirit realm and we've got spiritual vision, but we're not exercising it, how can we activate it?
Yeah. My dad teaches, you know, the four keys to hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice is as simple as quieting yourself down, looking for vision, tuning to spontaneity, and writing. And the thing of it is, if you're familiar with that, if you're able to hear God's voice, well, you can also hear angels' voices and see angels, because they are also spirits in the spirit realm, just the way God is. So if you're comfortable hearing God's voice, will connect with your angels in the exact same way. Quiet yourself down. We can look at what did the prophets in the Bible do when they wanted to connect with the supernatural
right.
realm. We know, well, Elisha, you know, he said, well, bring me a minstrel, you know, and when he heard the music play, then he got the word from the Lord. Or if we look in John in the book of Revelation, he said, I was in spirit on the Lord's day. And then he had all manner of vision, all of the angels all over in his tour of heaven. And so, you know, scripturally, they say, okay, well, I'm in spirit. Scientifically, we would say that he was in alpha. If we look at the brainwave states, you know, right now we're in beta. We're in the thinking, faster, analytical brainwave state, and we're just consumed by our natural world, what our physical eyes see, what our natural ears hear. But we know God does not live in our head. God lives in our hearts. Ephesians 3:17 says God lives in our hearts. Our spirit is joined with the Holy Spirit. We know Jesus said, out of our innermost being flow the rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the spirit. So we don't want to live from here. We want to live from here and here, our sacred union with God. And so how do we move from this as beta down into alpha? Alpha brainwave state is the prayerful, quiet, meditative state, you know, just as we're falling asleep at night, just
this is
as we're
fascinating.
Waking. Yeah, just as we're waking up in the morning, you know, where the veil between the physical and spiritual, it's really thin, you know, and you get these impressions from the spirit realm. Well, that's alpha. And so there are things that we can do to move us down into that quiet, that alpha space. So worship, we just mentioned, you know, praying in tongues is an awesome way. That is the quickest way. Sing in the spirit. Godly imagination, you know, picturing the things that God says are so. Look around. Okay, well, look for Jesus and look for the angels and start by imagining them, and then allow Holy Spirit to breathe on your natural imagination, transform it into a supernatural vision. So there's a lot of things that we can do to center ourselves down into that place. So we're positioned to connect with the supernatural world a little bit more easily.
Beautiful. I just love the aspect of the imagination, because so often you hear people say, oh, it's just the imagination. And I think, oh, I hate hearing that, because the imagination is not just an imagination. It is actually the vision organ that God created in us so that we could see vision as he sees vision. In the very beginning, it was never God's purpose for the imagination to house vain, you know, images or unclean images. It was always to connect with him. It was always in communion with him, because we're made in his image and likeness. Mm-hmm. So what I love to teach people is that when you sanctify that imagination, when you say, God, I'm setting this imagination apart for you, because you are the one who gave it for this very purpose.
Amen.
Of seeing into the spirit, I'm giving it to you. I'm asking you to cleanse it from anything that might have, you know, defiled it because of the world that we live in, the pictures, the images that we see throughout our day. That can always be cleansed. Every day you can have your imagination cleansed. But then the Bible says, if you seek, you will find. Mm-hmm. So if you go with the Spirit seeking sight, He will show it to you. In fact, Jesus said, I think it's in John 3 somewhere, he said, this is the judgment I came for, is that the blind will see.
Amen.
The blind will see. Because in the fall, man's eyes were blinded. But Jesus came to open up that spiritual vision, you know, that the carnal vision isn't going to blind us anymore. So I just love that aspect of activating with the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to show you the angels, you know, because they are there. And this book, by the way, will give you more confidence. Sometimes we just need a mentor to help us through and to give us the confidence and the encouragement that we need. So I just want to encourage you to get this book, Everyday Angels. Okay. Now, is having conversations with angels, interaction with angels, is that biblical?
Absolutely. Yeah, we know, you know, an angel showed up. He talked to Mary about the baby that she was going to have. And she's like, hey, how's this work? And the angel gave her answers. They had a back and forth dialogue. The same thing happened with John in Revelation. But in the Old Testament, we have a lot of entire chapters. You know, the first six chapters of Zechariah, it is this back and forth conversation with an angel. And the angel shows him this. He's like, well, what is this? And what is that? And the angel gives him answer after answer. The same thing.
I always found it interesting that they, like Mary and Zechariah, very clearly, I mean, there's real clear things, is that there was things that they questioned, but they didn't question God, they questioned the angel that brought them the message.
You're right.
So they must have known that those angels represented the voice of God because they didn't go directly to God. I hear people say all the time, well, just go directly to God, you don't need an angel, but God chooses them.
That's right. He does. He says specifically in Daniel, I sent my angel to you. Gabriel came and he brought the message. So a lot of times we're praying, we're asking God, you know, give me wisdom. But then an angel shows up with the answer to our prayer. But we're like, no, don't, you know, don't distract me. I'm focused on God. And God's like, hey, I brought the answer. And this is, I've sent my ministering spirits to render service to you. This is how he chooses to do it.
What are some of the things that the angels minister?
They do it all. You know, scripturally, we see they can, I like things, they can make us dinner. They did that with Elijah,
right?
They brought the bread and exactly, they can, but you know, we know that they protect us. God says in Psalm 91 that he gives his angels charge over us to guard us in all our ways. So that's physical protection, but emotional protection, spiritual protection, you know, they can play a role in healing because we know an angel came and stirred the waters and people got healed. And they can bring whatever we need them to bring because
so
they have
great
the resources
to have hanging around.
Well, exactly. They connect us to the provision of heaven. It's all available through them.
And it's available to you. Angelic ministry is available to your life. God loves you so much that he just sent all these servants to you. That's what Hebrews 1:14 says, that they're ministering servants. They're ministering spirits to render service to you because you're an heir of salvation. And, you know, when you have a servant, you know, you don't worship them, that's for sure, but you appreciate them. You know, if you have a housekeeper in your home or a gardener to help you, you don't fall down and worship them or you don't make, you know, a big idol out of them, but you are respectful and you do honor them. And that's what God wants you to realize, that he sent these gifts to you and he wants you to be aware of them. So I highly recommend getting Everyday Angels. You can get this book online on the website that's on the screen right now. And we'd love to have you learn more so that you can engage with the purposes of God and the reason why he sent these awesome angels. Well, we're going to take a break right now, but you're going to want to come back because we're going to talk about how you can hear God in your dreams. And I know that many of you have dreams, and we're going to learn a little bit about how you can hear from God, not just, you know, the voice of the chocolate cake you ate before you went to bed or the pizza, but you know, you can actually hear from God in your dreams. Well, hello there. Welcome back. We've got Charity with us. And this time we're talking about another subject for the second part of this program. It's Hearing God Through Your Dreams, which is another book that she has written, which is a great tool for you. So we highly recommend that you look more into this. But we're going to discuss this right now, Charity, and we're going to hear God through dreams. Now, let's talk first of all about dreams, because we can have dreams because of what, something that happened in the day, maybe triggered something in our sleep, or because of what we ate before we went to bed or something, or a trauma from the past or something. So what are we talking about hearing God in our dreams? Do we hear God in every dream?
I believe you can, because in the Bible, God never once said it's just leftover pizza. You know, he never once said that he wasn't speaking. Instead, he said, I will reveal myself in visions. I will speak in dreams. It says in Job 33 that, you know, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men and they slumber in their bed, God opens our ears and seals our instruction to turn us from wrongdoing and keep us from pride. And it says God does all these things oftentimes. We just don't recognize it. So right. He is speaking even through the crazy dreams. Yeah. You know, we call them the pizza dreams. There can still be a message in those dreams if we decode them and honor them to find the hidden treasure in it.
And of course, in your book, you help us discern all that. So that is good. Hearing God Through Your Dreams, a great book. Okay, so I've heard that pizza, for example, the cheese in pizza actually has enzymes in it that helps you dream. So when they say pizza dreams, it's actually a reality. It actually helps you dream. So, you know, eat lots of pizza, and chocolate probably does the same thing. But anyways, that'll help dream, because sometimes people say, well, what can I do to dream more? Well, maybe eat pizza. Okay. How do you make sense out of, you know, like a silly or strange dream, like that doesn't make any sense to us whatsoever. It just seems off the wall. How can we find God's voice inside that?
Yeah, there's three key questions that we can ask that will unlock the message in those kind of crazy dreams. And the first one is, what is the main action? In the dream, what am I doing? You know, am I running? Am I ministering? Am I fighting? And then we look in our waking life and say, well, where in my waking life am I experiencing this? The second question we ask is, what is the main emotion? In the dream, how am I feeling? Am I excited? Am I grateful? Am I disappointed? Am I angry? We take that main emotion from the dream and we overlay it onto the setting of our waking world. We say, where in my waking life am I feeling this way? And then, so we match up that emotion and action with our waking life. We know, oh, this is the area of my life that God is speaking to. And then the third key question we ask about every dream is the most important. And that is, what is the setting? And the setting, you kind of touched on this. What is going on in our waking life when we have the dream? What happened during the day? What was I thinking about when I went to bed? What was I praying for as I fell asleep? That's the setting of the dream. And that's what God is going to be speaking to us about in that dream. So, you know, I can give an example of kind of a crazy dream, but we use these questions to decode and decrypt it. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a dream where I was on a pole vaulting team. Okay. And everybody was able to go way high up over that bar. Everybody but me. I was too weak and sick and I couldn't pole vault. And then my friends came over, they nursed me back to health, and then I'm able to pole vault too. So what in the world does this mean? You know, am I watching too much Olympics? You know, pole vaulting that has nothing to do with me. But okay, let's ask our questions. In the dream, okay, what am I doing? What's the main action? Well, I'm trying to get over something. And then the second question, well, how am I feeling? What's the main emotion? Well, it's a struggle. I'm struggling to get over something. We take that, we say, okay, where in my waking life am I struggling to get over something? Well, in my waking world, someone had said something to me I didn't really appreciate very much. And I've been praying about this. I'm like, God, you know, should I let them know? I didn't really like what they said. Or, you know, should I just forgive them, you know, take the high road and let it go and just get over it? That was a question on my heart when I went to bed. Should I get over it? And then I have a dream of pole vaulting. So that is a picture symbol of getting over it. Exactly.
That's so good.
So God was saying, hey, if you're spiritually strong, spiritually healthy, like everyone else on the team, they had no trouble. You should be able to rise above this offense, you know, let it go and just get over it.
Wow.
So that's an example of how it works. It's really
that is such
simple.
A good example.
Yeah.
That is so fun.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, you unpacked, I mean, you just like soared through that one. But what about the average person? Do you have to be a gifted interpreter of dreams, or can anyone interpret dreams?
I'm so glad you asked that. Because dream interpretation, it is not a special gift that is bestowed only on a few favored individuals. No. Dream interpretation is a skill that anyone can learn. Dreams are communicated in this symbolic picture language. And, you know, just like, you know, Spanish, if you say something to me in Spanish and I understand what you say, you're not going to say, "Ooh, wow, Charity, you have the gift of Spanish."
Right.
I don't have the gift. I studied, I invested time in learning that language.
Right.
And so it is with dreams. When we invest time in learning it, we can become fluent in the language that God speaks at night.
So good. That's excellent. So, like, how long would it take an average person to learn the basic principles and to get them moving in their life of how to interpret their dreams?
Well, we have tried to make it as simple as possible in the book, and we've got, we just put on our website a dreams crash course, and it's just like, it's 15 minutes. It's three short videos. You can sign up for free, get them on, online, and it goes through those questions, puts them into more real life dreams, so you get a feel for how it works, gives you some more principles for interpretation, because once you know what you're looking for, it's a lot easier to see.
Right on. And what about quantum physics? Because you mentioned that and its relation to our walk in the spirit. And what does the role play in our dreams?
Yeah, I am fascinated with how quantum physics correlates with our supernatural walk with God. And, you know, the observer effect in quantum physics. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever we look at something, we change it.
Right.
Just our very act of observing it, it changes it and it moves it from something that the physicists are talking about, these waves of potential in the invisible realm.
Right.
And when they observe it, it collapses, wave function collapse into a manifested particle in our time space dimension. And so I say, well, this is a perfect picture of what happens when we pray. You know, we have all the resources of heaven available to us. God gave us everything when he gave us Jesus, you know, all healing, all provision, all wisdom.
It's all in the possibility realm.
Well, exactly. Yeah. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Where? In heavenly places.
Yeah.
And that's great that it's in heavenly places, but I also want it here and I want it now. So how can we bring it here? Well, we can move something we see from quantum physics. We can move something from that invisible realm to the visible by observing it, by looking at it. We can collapse that reality into our world. So God will give us his version of our situations through our dreams at night. It's glimpses. These are snapshots of the spirit. So, you know, I can give an example of, you know, I had a kind of a crazy dream. You know, I went in, there was a, into a log cabin. Okay. And there's just all this work. There's, you know, dirty dishes piled high. There's dirty laundry everywhere. It was my responsibility to clean it all up. And I'm like totally overwhelmed, but I knew, okay, the first thing I need to do, you know, I need to open the window, let some fresh air in. And then I went out to the outside to get a good signal on my cell phone. And then there was a text message from Billy. And he said that his sister was coming early tomorrow. And so, I was like, somehow that just changed everything.
Right.
And that's the dream. Okay, so what does this mean? Well, we know, okay, let's ask our key questions. You know, in the dream, how was I feeling? I was totally overwhelmed. Okay. And what was overwhelming me? It was work. So I'm going to match that up with my waking life. Where am I feeling totally overwhelmed by work? And, you know, dreams are rarely literal. So it wasn't like housework in my waking life that was overwhelming me, but it was office work. It was ministry work. And so, okay, so God is speaking to this area of my life. And what is he saying? Well, the very first thing is, okay, it's a log cabin. That was the first symbol in the dream. Let's decode that. What does a log cabin mean to me? Symbols are personal to the dreamer. And to me, a log cabin represents something temporary. You know, I'm not going to live there permanently. I go there for a vacation or a short time. So with that one symbol, God ministered so much encouragement to me because he's saying, hey, I see you're totally overwhelmed with this work. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's temporary. It's just a log cabin. This too shall pass, you know?
Right.
I'm like, okay, that's good. And so then look at the other, what was the main action in the dream? Well, I had to open the window. So that was a picture of me inviting Holy Spirit's presence into this situation. And then I went and got a good signal on my cell phone. And to me, a cell phone represents communication with God. You know, you're having a conversation with someone you can't see, someone who's not here. We know he's here, but we can't see him with our physical eyes. So that's what a picture with the cell phone. And then there's a text message. And well, Billy's sister's coming early tomorrow. And this is why the dreamer themselves is the best person to interpret the dream. Because who's Billy and who's his sister? Okay. Well, I know my brother used to play with Billy when we were kids. And his sister, I used to play with her. She lived right down the street. And Billy's sister's name was Joy. So the message was not that Billy's sister's coming early tomorrow. The message is that Joy is coming in the morning.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. So these are verses that I knew. Okay. Joy is coming in the morning. And that's great on paper. But what does that look like in my life? And more importantly, how does it feel? Well, now I know how it feels. If I truly believe God's word, which is joy is coming in the morning, it's, Okay. I'm relaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not stressed out anymore. So when I wake up from this dream, I have two choices. I can look at my natural world that hasn't changed and I can be overwhelmed by that work. Mm-hmm. Or I can look at God's version of my situation.
Bring a change of the movement.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
And then I'll be full of that peace and joy. Exactly. Observe it, collapse it into my heart.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is so cool. But you can find out more information on this and how to hear God in your dreams by getting this book, this very valuable tool that you'll want in your bookshelf for sure to study it out. Thank you so much for joining us on today's program. And remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. I have a word for a few of you who have had distressing dreams. And you felt, Lord, this looks terrible because it spoke of tragedy and it spoke of, in one of your cases, it was like someone dying. But I feel the Lord saying specifically to you that He has enlightened you concerning a position of intercession that He wants you to take. And I was reminded of a time when I had three situations inside of a dream that spoke of my son drowning. And actually later on in that day, that he just about drowned. But because I had had that dream, I had intervened with intercession. As soon as I woke up, I interceded. And that's what saved my son's life. God warns in dreams. And so I just have that word. It's a specific word for some of you. And also there's someone that had a dream recently about being married. And that is speaking of your communion with Christ is going to go into a deeper, more intimate place. And I just felt the Holy Spirit nudging me to give those words to you to bring encouragement. God bless.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.